Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan present Point Taken, a podcast connecting you to the sports and pop culture issues you care about and the guests you want to hear more from. Now, here's Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady.
That's what this is. It's July 19th, or the week of July 19th, depending on when you're listening. Greg Brady, Carolyn Cameron. We might be in double digits for episodes.
Who knows at this point? We lost track a while ago. Lost count.
There's no cake. There's no cookies. there's nothing that's gluten-free. Vegan. We're just going to roll in. It's too hot to eat anyway. This is maybe the hottest week in Toronto yet. And we're coming out the slowest sports week. Thank God for Wimbledon last week.
Ugh. Right? Thank goodness.
Wimbledon used to be a week earlier. You'd get done by July 4th. Then you'd go into All-Star break
week. That's a good point.
And all we could talk about in the morning is potential baseball trades. All you could show on your late night highlight extravaganza is Tour de France riders crashing into each other.
And the other ridiculous things in those highlight packs, too. There were cows running around,
what have
frolicking.
I seen? I saw a guy peeing while riding
peeing.
On a bike.
Oh, we didn't include that. Or I wasn't working that night.
It was blurred out. But actually, it was blurred out on the highlights, but on the original NBC SN broadcast.
Oh.
I'm not a good bike rider. I don't know if you are. I couldn't hold like this bottle that I'm holding right now and steer the bike properly. I got to be a two-hand bike person.
Oh, I'm okay with the one hand.
This guy stopped both hands, kind of.
Oh.
Because you got to go. But he didn't want to give up time. And
Nature
he
calls.
Pulled his shorts down and veered towards the forest.
The crowd. Oh.
No, the forest. There's nobody. nobody wants that. You get your money back if that. Anyway, it was gross. So they all finished their particular run, and then they get on the podium, and I always feel bad for those. There's a guy up there who announces it, and there's women who are like models, and I'm like, those guys. You've been in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms after like a 2-hour soccer game or a 3-hour hockey game that went to overtime. These guys have been on bikes for 9 hours.
Yeah, that would be pretty smelly. I'm surprised they can just stand at the end of that. Watching every single day them do this. There was a picture, one of them actually, I forget who it was, tweeted out a picture of his legs, and it's just veins.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
But I wouldn't look a second time. There's things you see once and you won't go.
Yeah.
You won't go back. So why don't we ban that? We were really worried about head injuries in sports, and then you see legs like that, and you're like, we should ban long-distance cycling.
Okay.
If your legs, like, why do we care about people's legs? And shoulders and chests and every other part.
Because
like
your
we do
brain's not in there?
Right, but that guy could get his legs amputated.
Okay. That is a general. We do not know that.
We don't know that.
They'll be fine. He'll be fine.
If you say so.
Yeah, that's my non-expert opinion.
Not quite playing a five-set match at Wimbledon.
No, you know who didn't have to play any? Roger Federer.
That's right, he did. He did not. He has done it again. How many times has he? He's in, 19 slams.
Yeah.
And how would you rate the level of emotion for him? So you've probably seen all 19. You love your Roger Federer. How many? Was that like the ninth most happy he's been? It's not like the first few.
Because he's
a crier. And that's okay to say that.
He
likes his tears.
It wasn't even like Australia. Because Australia, that was a better match. This match just wasn't very good. So the emotion was kind of taken out of it from early on.
Because Cilic, what did you think was going on with Marin Cilic?
I felt really bad for him.
Sure, we all did.
I just think probably the moment got the best of him, and then he was dealing with blisters. But I was quite underwhelmed by the entire final. I was actually pretty disappointed. As happy as I was for Federer to win 19 and 8th at Wimbledon, I was disappointed by the final. Okay, we've always just discussed the greatness or maybe not so greatness of Roger Federer.
He's great.
Right. But we have never had the confrontational conversation about is he the greatest of all time? Because I know we both have our opinions.
Right.
And you
sure.
wrote a piece on sportsnet.ca, which was very good. And
wait, there's a butt coming. There's a mildly large butt coming my way.
You can make your case.
Yeah.
And then I will dispute it.
Well, here's what I'd say. And by the way, I want to say also, you're right, the Australian, because I had to look it up while doing my research, and I'm like, it felt like he played in epic matches, and people, because he did, 4 of the last 5 matches he had, including the final, were 5 sets, and that's in Melbourne. They're not all at night. They're not all, obviously, an air-conditioned environment, so Australia's hot, and that's been modified somewhat by, A, they play the final at night, and they never used to. Mm-hmm. The last 5, 6 years, it's been at night. and they don't always have the roof. So if you can get through the first week of conditions.
Especially at that age.
At that age.
Soon to be 36.
So I thought that was almost a greater achievement, but I think we've always felt like if you were to grade the majors, the slams, Wimbledon, kind of like how the PGA Championship is in men's golf,
mm-hmm.
it's a little lesser then. And I think we always, if Wimbledon and the U.S. Open are 10s, maybe the French is an 8, and maybe the Australian Open's like a 6.5.
Yeah, I get that.
And it used to be a lot less regarded because it was in December. Like 30 years ago, they'd play this thing December 4th to 18th, and a lot of the pros would not go because the money wasn't good enough to go. It's a bit of a hike to get there. I don't know if you've been to Australia.
No, I've never been.
I want to go
not
someday.
Not yet.
No, I want to. I've got it all mapped out about trying to go to New Zealand and go when the tournament's on in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But you need a couple weeks there because it feels like it probably takes 3 days each way to fly.
Yes.
From
LA
or Vancouver.
Too.
So here's what I do with Federer. I wrote this in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
I listen and consider that if someone wants to tell me he's the greatest of all time based on the data, there's a lot of evidence to support that. I think there's some to suggest, especially, I mean, the Wimbledon's a microcosm in a weird way of what he was able to avoid. Both in terms of skipping the clay court season, which I would do too. If I'm him and I care about slams and I don't care about money, I want to say that. He owes the tour nothing. And I know you'll be disappointed if he doesn't play in Montreal for Rogers Cup. Everybody will be, but I'll understand
it. But
it
makes sense. Yeah, I get it.
He owes the sport nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a phenomenal ambassador. But I do look at, I look at the tour. I see four phenomenally talented athletes. And sometimes there's a randomness in sports where it just happens. And I see a massive drop off, and that drop off was totally explained and on display for Wimbledon. We've got our own Milos Raonic. He couldn't win a set against him. He beat him the year before when Federer was a little. He beat him twice last year. He beat him in late January in Brisbane,
yeah,
or somewhere right before the Australian
mm-hmm.
Open. And he beat him at Wimbledon, obviously. So I think it was simpler for Roger to win.
I agree with that.
But I would also say I think there aren't the pitfalls and the minefields and the roadblocks that, say, somebody playing in 1985 would have had, or somebody playing in 1998 would have had. I don't know how to transfer the numbers, but certainly in the last 12 months, Roger Federer has increased the amount of people that feel he's the greatest of all time. And I will admit, I can't talk about Roy Emerson, and I can't even talk about Rod Laver.
Yeah.
There were people that wrote, well, you got to mention, I only had so many words, so I can't really talk about Laver. I can't talk about baseball players I haven't seen. I had a tough time talking about Gordie Howe in a historical context when he passed away, because
mm-hmm.
I saw his last few years. All I can do is say, it sounds from his peers like he would have fit in this spot, in this spot. But as we know, sports are always evolving. So my argument may be that it's been a better era for these four guys to just wallop. I mean, it can't be a coincidence that one guy's got 19 now, one guy's got 15, or one guy's got 14, and one guy's got 15, and one guy's got 11 or 12 in Djokovic.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird, isn't it? That does
yes.
say something about all the other players.
Right, but you also, I don't think, can discredit the talent then that those four have to be that dominant. Right?
No.
And the thing at this Wimbledon, and I'm with you, is Federer did not have a tough draw, and he didn't have to face any of those top guys
but
to
a lot,
get through.
A lot of,
but,
I'm sure
I mean,
that happened to a lot of slam winners at one
exactly.
point in time. They
and,
just rolled through.
And those top guys, they lost. So they lost in this tournament.
No, that's
so
on them.
That's on them.
Yep, that is on them to a great extent.
I think the thing that gets tricky now is because of Federer's age and because this is so ridiculous because we've never seen this before. We've never seen a male player at this age be this good. I think it's hard for us to wrap our head around why is this happening. So we see it as he's older, this shouldn't be happening, the talent's not good enough, or do we see it as he is just ridiculously good and somehow, regardless of age, able to beat whoever he wants
and
right
it
now.
Can be both, but I think people might want to have it both ways on Federer, where they say he's amazing, he's the greatest ever, and everybody else is just as great as everybody else in the other eras, so Milos Raonic would have gone back in time and been better than, Stefan Edberg. And I don't
yeah.
believe that. And
it was a different game then, too.
It
Each
was.
Generation, it's a different game.
It was, and but the- I had somebody describe Federer as, or sorry, Sampras as one-dimensional to me. And that's not right. And admittedly, in Sampras's prime also, you had what I would call, and I don't, you tell me if you, I think you're watching more tennis than I am at this point in both our lives, so I'll defer to you. I don't feel like we have the clay court specialists that we used to have. The guys
well,
that
Nadal.
Were, well, and we thought he was at first, but then he impressed us and won on all surfaces.
Right. He's still, though, the great. That's the thing with Federer and Sampras is Federer, he's been able to win on clay, but he hasn't been able to beat Nadal on clay. He hasn't been able to consistently beat him, and he's
right.
never beaten him at the French Open. So even if you look at, and that's the argument against Federer is the greatest of all time, too, and in favor of Sampras is against his rivals, Federer doesn't have winning records. He doesn't have
That's
a winning
right.
record against Nadal. Now, a lot of matches are on clay.
A ton, yes.
And Sampras, he was never even able to win a French Open. And he wasn't able to
never
beat anybody on clay.
But
right?
Agassi won kind of a fluke French Open, and I don't regard him as any greater, any less, just because he has that there. He beat Andre Medvedev or someone like that, and I didn't think that was like, that didn't blow me away as being, there's his moment, because there's a dominant player in Agassi on clay that we just never discovered before. No, it just kind of, sometimes the cards all fall in your direction. What I'm saying too is there's guys, I could run them down, Carlos Moya, who coached mm-hmm. Raonic, Gustavo Kuerten, Sergi Bruguera. There
yeah.
were tons of guys who could only win that tournament, and they're gone. Like mm-hmm. Wawrinka can't win Wimbledon. He's not as strong on grass as he is the other surfaces. Lendl couldn't win on grass. There are guys where grass is the weakness, and as we'd also remember, when I was really little, they played the Australian Open on grass. You had two grass courts, only one hard court
mm-hmm.
slam, and you always had the clay in Paris. I found it fascinating to write. I enjoyed the responses.
It was good. I thought
the .ca people could have done a better job blocking out the insults. They could have just found like 10 magic words
to describe
me. You're not
supposed to read those. Not supposed to read the comments
was
section.
The numbers were quite prolific. And it
sorry,
sets
I tried to use anonymous names on the comment section.
You didn't need
I guess
to
it
log in five
oh,
times.
Okay, sorry.
CC, as they say. Now, did you? Now, looking forward to the U.S. Open, what do we see? Because we didn't mention also Murray injured, losing his match to Sam Querrey. Novak Djokovic, it sounds like he might go away. Might even have shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Roger could be a definitive odds-on favorite for the U.S. Open, which was unthinkable 12 months ago. Unthinkable. He didn't even play the U.S. Open last year.
So the thing now is this is where the door opens for those guys and that next generation, like Milos, like Grigor Dimitrov, to hopefully push through. Now's their break. If they just have to face, I mean, again, we don't know yet what the draw and what the field will be, but say they only have to face Nadal mm-hmm. on the hard courts, which I'd be happy to face Nadal on the hard courts, or Federer. I mean, now's your chance. You don't have to beat four
you
of them.
You yourself
in
would like
no.
to face Nadal.
No,
if you get a break
no,
early,
I'm
and he's
speaking as one of the other
yes.
players.
Yes.
What
does it
then
do?
Now's your time.
Tell me what it does, because Rogers Cup in Montreal is coming up, and Milos and in Montreal, Toronto, men for the Montreal stop.
It'd be great if
Toronto
he won that.
Women. It would. There was that Raonic Pospisil semi the one
right.
year, and then he got pounded by Djokovic on the Sunday. I always feel I never feel like he's regressing. I hate that people would think that. You beat an all-time great in Federer the year before to make the final, losing straight sets to Murray, two tie breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel he's going backwards. It's when we think about the players we had before, it's really, really difficult to get on Milos's case when he's probably going to be a top 10 player for 7, 8, 9 of his career years, based on how the rankings are holding right now. There's a couple players, the younger Zverev, obviously Kyrgios, that might push through and take some top 10 slots. Cilic is now a consistent top 10 player, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But do you look and say, the criticism bothers you, or are you kind of, you want more? When you get to a certain point, it's understandable to push the envelope and want more things from our top athletes.
I think he wants more. I think Canadian tennis fans want more. And the thing that I guess was concerning watching him play Federer this year at Wimbledon is he didn't make any adjustments. Like when rally started going long, he kept the rally going long. He was trying to serve in volley, but he was coming in a point or two or a ball or two late. It wasn't. If Raonic wants to beat some of these guys, he's got to adjust his game plan. Because even though he's good from the baseline, he's not as good or quick as a lot of these guys. Part of that's his size, and part of it's just his game.
Was that a case where you think mentally he looked at how Federer was playing, he looked at what Federer was doing coming in, he's coming off a 5-set match, Federer's coming off a straight set win, and he's going, it's not my day. I don't think we blame athletes, because sometimes you can cover that up in an individual sport.
I don't think Milos lost himself the match. I mean, Federer won it. He was far superior.
But I Milos think reality set in at some point in the match.
And he didn't do himself any favors.
Yeah.
So there was just, at no point was there really a big adjustment made.
So let me ask you about the women before we move on, because I'm curious to get your read on this, because everybody is talking about Muguruza in the last 4 or 5 days as maybe the next one, maybe a potential superstar. That's her second slam. Well, some might differ. If I said it's Federer winning at that age is a great testament to him, it's somewhat of an indictment of the rest of the men who didn't step up or haven't stepped up. What did you make of a 37-year-old Venus Williams making the final? Did that say something more about her? Because that's very out of nowhere. It's not like a Roger Federer who's never left the top
five. Mind you, she made the Australian Open final,
too. She made the Aussie final, so she's had a good year.
Well, and I think that's the issue, too, where I'm with you, where you kind of see her age and you think, how and why is she doing this? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't the other women on tour be beating her? But then if you watch her game, I mean, she was so good. Helps with women, too, that it's a best of three sets, so the energy isn't as much, and it doesn't really, I mean, you don't see it as much based on age.
I think
Muguruza the next one? I think there's so, the draw and the field is so wide open on the women's side that I don't necessarily think there's going to be a clear next one. I think they'll keep trading who wins slams.
But I think there's some hope because I'll never forget the big breakthrough for Wozniacki was the U.S. semis in 2009, and everyone thought slams are going to come. And I think we thought Dinara Safina was a number one. Anna Ivanovic wins the French was the French Open, and then we thought, well, there's more slams, that'd be good for everybody. She's very marketable. She's pretty.
Yeah,
that's just a reality. She can sell rackets. She can sell lots of things. But it's So she struggled to maintain consistency. So I feel like if Muguruza has that opportunity to have a great U.S. Open, maybe even make the final, she might end up being close to favored for the final. I want to know what you thought happened in the second set, because I thought everybody eased off. It's weird to criticize Venus. Her sister's away. She misses her on the tour. She had the strange story of the car accident. It's a tragedy she was involved in that she's been cleared of. There's a pending civil suit potentially. But I thought, it's one or the other. She either did stop sort of, she needed that first set and kind of got steamrolled after, or she just started playing poorly and really trying to get quickly back in, trying to win the points all back at once, and you can't. What did you see in the second set?
Yeah,
for her?
I saw that. I thought it was a bit rushed and And then again, that's what was disappointing, is it wasn't really a good final on either.
No, well, great
either
first set.
Side.
I thought that was a great
first set. Yeah, the first set was great, but second set, I think it just hurt her that she didn't take that first set. So the second set, what you said, she just kind of, I think, panic kind of, and you don't ever think that Venus is going to panic, but it just seemed to look, she looked desperate, and it just didn't work.
So August 5th to 13th, Rogers Cup. Tell our listeners who are fans of yours what you're doing for it.
I will be in Montreal. I'll be hosting the daytime sessions from the desk, and Brad Fail, he'll be on the evening sessions. I'm excited
for
Rogers
Cup. Is that
better?
You get nights out? You can go to the night matches
and watch,
hang out and make it live a life of leisure?
Prep for the next day, you mean?
Prep for the... Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm a professional.
Because what? Coverage starts around 11? First matches are usually at 11?
I think so. I need to double check, because usually Toronto and Montreal have different start times by an hour.
I've never gone to the Montreal venue, but
It's really fun. It's different than the Toronto one. They have different personalities and energies.
It does seem there's a support that there always has been. That they haven't... Toronto has... I think Toronto's had more bad luck with just injuries and people dropping out. They had the year after the London Olympics, like Andy Murray wins the London Olympics and then played the one match here, and then he was like, I can't keep playing. Well, I'm shot. I'm a shot fighter. I can't go anymore.
That's the tough thing with the Rogers Cup, because it's in a tricky part of the schedule, and we're going to see that. I mean, the women's field, I think, is going to be really, really strong this year at the Rogers Cup. The men's field, I mean, it's still strong, but I think that, as we talked about before, those top players, I don't think will be there. I mean, we'll find out by the time this is online. Maybe we've heard something. But that being said, I think it's going to be fun on both sides, especially the men's, because it's still going to be top players, just not necessarily the big four. So there's going to be a lot of interesting upsets and good matches early on. But it's tricky because then Cincinnati follows and then it's the U.S. Open. So a lot of players want to do one or the other.
And
they
Roger
don't
Federer's
always want
to
do
Cincinnati, which affects the Montreal tournament. And here in Toronto, like a lot of people wouldn't have seen Yelena Ostapenko play live before.
Sharapova is supposed to be back.
Which is really interesting. Yeah, Pliskova is the number one player. You wouldn't know it, but she is, right?
Yeah. The fun thing, too, about I Find the Tournament in Toronto is that because it's such a city of multiculturalism, that there's so many fans that come out to cheer their different players. Like when Halep was in the final, I think that was last year, there were tons of Romanian fans in the crowd.
How many?
It's a fun
like
time.
That,
tons.
Like...
thousand. Yeah. Don't think you
well,
can
fit thousands
in there.
Well, it's like the GD Army goes places, and you're like,
that's
it's
true.
Like
I wonder
eight
what
guys that
I wonder
are
what
quite...
happened to them.
Yeah.
I'm also excited, you know what, for the young Canadians. Félix Auger-Aliassime, he's not able to play because of a wrist injury.
Mm-hmm.
But Denis Shapovalov, who beat Kyrgios last year.
That's right.
Even though Kyrgios was giving up at points and being usual Kyrgios.
Yeah.
Bianca Andreescu. It's going to be, Abanda, who we saw win a round at Wimbledon. It'll be good.
Can you use the that on the show sometimes? The curious case of Kyrgios?
Oh, that's good. I like that. I should write that down.
It's better. It's better as a newspaper headline, maybe, because you'd almost have to spell it out to make it. And you could spell curious with a K, and then people would be like, she can't spell.
But you're right. Thank goodness for Wimbledon last week, because I don't know what
right.
I would have done with myself.
The
Between
other,
that and Conor McGregor
well, thank you.
And,
yes.
geez, Floyd Mayweather.
The other major event in Toronto, because it was odd with the Blue Jays being off and then starting in Detroit, so they haven't played a home game here in what feels like forever. They won't till Oakland next Monday.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Was a four-stop. Now, I was impressed by this only because I'm such a big music fan. I'm like, no band would try and play Los Angeles, then Toronto, then New York, then London in four nights.
What's...
Like, that's ambitious for anybody to even if you showed up to, like, do business. Like, you're that George Clooney character in the air up there. You can't do that.
Oh, and up in the air. Great
you can't
flick.
Fly around and fire that many people in those four cities that easily.
Also, why do you rush and do it in four nights? The fight is, it's August 26th. I believe. So why don't you take some time? Why are you shoving this all in four days and basically shoving this down our throats.
The fighters might say, well, we need to train and we want our alone time.
The first one, I thought, okay, in LA, I thought, okay, yeah, I get it. Oh, yeah, it's great. By Toronto, I was already
getting
sick of
it. But maybe you're not supposed to watch all four. Like, it'd be like a stand-up comedian. You'd be like, I've seen this Louis C.K. joke. I saw it two nights ago in Toronto. It's not as good in London.
That's
I don't know.
I'm just really tired of seeing both of their faces.
What about... I think some people have taken a, and I understand it, I'd love to know where you, where it lands for you, because it lands for me in a certain spot, where you are from a, like a moral stance on it. Some of the language was salty and...
Yeah, most of it, I would say.
Okay, so a lot of it was, they were general insults, and yet I don't think we react the same way when it happens, say, in, like, I don't know, pro wrestling. Because we feel like, you're either in or you're not. You're either in on wrestling or you're not. And I'm not anymore. I'm not, again, I would say I was when I was, like, a 15-year-old boy watching some of it and finding it interesting because it really got into the mainstream at that point. And then I would have walked away from it. How do you view it? Do you look and go, well, it's theater. It's like a play. It's performance art to some extent. And I don't like every line in every movie I see or every, again, stand-up comedy, but it is what it is and that they've got a sales job to do. How do you view it?
I think what bothers me is I'm fine with swearing. I swear. I'm fine if people are swearing.
Let's hear some words that you enjoy.
But the issue is when they're saying things that are just flat out offensive. And we were talking about it in the newsroom is, say, Mayweather, I think it was in London when he used a homophobic slur.
He did, yeah.
And so in other sports, I mean, we look at Kevin Pillar, it is not acceptable. And if someone uses that, unacceptable, as it should be, it's not acceptable. And yet he does it on stage and everybody's laughing and it's fine because it's just to be expected because of what a circus it is. That bothers me because I don't think it should be acceptable or allowed in any scenario. And that's what bothers me, too. If you think of Mayweather's past...
But that's I agree with that, and is there?
I just hate how we celebrate these types of things.
But I weirdly think, and I felt like this with the Manny Pacquiao fight 2.5 years ago, and I've probably bought maybe, I'm probably, from my age and my age group, you'd concur boxing meant a lot more in the mainstream 25, 30 years ago. So I don't know that someone like a male or female your age feels the same about boxing that I do. But I link it with watching my dad. I watched Ali's last couple fights. Heroes when I was a kid were like Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Thomas Hearns, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously the early days of Tyson. But I look at Mayweather and I think people are intrigued by Mayweather because they want to see him lose. Every sport needs that sort of hero and villain. And I'm not advocating, hey, sports needs more Floyd Mayweathers. I got a lot of problems when, mostly in the team sports, an NFL team trots a guy out like Greg Hardy with Dallas 2 years ago, and you're cringing. And as we all know, there's words, but you raise the specter of he's got a domestic violence conviction. Mm-hmm. And I think if you've got one domestic violence conviction, you probably have committed domestic violence more than that one time. That's me making what I think are logical assumptions about relationships. I would say that about cheating. I would say that about being verbally abusive. I don't think things just happen once on a lark. So I have a lot of problem with Mayweather, and yet I understand that people are intrigued by it from a sporting perspective because they want to see, and I don't think they will, because they want to see Conor McGregor kick the crap out of him and shut him up, and he won't be able to.
Have you seen some of these videos, too, of Conor McGregor practicing in comparison to Floyd Mayweather?
Yes.
And the thing that also just makes this sad is Mayweather's old. He's done. He's just doing this for the money because he needs it because he has tax problems and just wants to, I mean, when you offer that much money up, why not take it? But it's just so gimmicky and it's just so clearly for money. And I'm a bit tired of it. Well, I'm just glad. I'm glad that the whole, as I called it, a circus is over. I'm glad that the whole tour is over because I don't want to hear much about it until the fight.
I think the words thing is interesting because, I would delineate between that and I'm one of those people, I think we're in a society now where if I say I'm not offended by the words, that makes it sound in 2017 like I endorse the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. And I don't know if we're allowed that with social media and people. We're then raised to A, judge each other all the time, and B, It's a race, especially online, to be like, look how great a human being I am. And I don't like either of those aspects of it. So I don't like the words, but I'm not going to. I think actions that people take are so much more important. And I hope these are teachable moments.
But
if I was watching that live with my kid my kids who are 11 or 9, I think kids use those words less than we did on the schoolyard. I really do believe that. And if I heard it said to my kids or my kids saying it, I hope those are teachable moments where I can go, here's why you don't. Because they're watching movies now where there's language where I'm like, I'd rather you didn't say that. We just started watching, you'd laugh at this, we started watching Stranger Things, which was the big phenomenon last year. And even in the first, I think we can do this on the podcast, even in the first installment, there's son of a bitch, there's don't be a pussy, and there's something else. And I'm going, and there's bullshit. So all those things are said. And I'm going, all right, first episode. But I think they take that in and they go, they know those are words that can't be said at the dinner table, shouldn't be said in the schoolyard. I don't know if we get that from everybody, because here's where I'd agree with you. There's a coarseness that we have in society that maybe we don't have 10 years ago. So you're right. When Mayweather calls McGregor that, does that give people endorsement who think of these guys, put them on pedestals as, hey, I can do that more than the rest of society tells me I can, because there's no one's calling him out for it.
Yeah, and even I think it was either in Brooklyn or London where McGregor called like Mayweather, said he was acting like a girl or something like that. What bothers me is I just think, and I will use the word pathetic, but I just think it's pathetic. And if you see kids watching this, that not only are they saying these things on stage, but you then have an entire arena full of people just cheering and egging them on. I mean,
I know. I do think there's probably to some extent a parenting aspect.
You can have fun and it can be fun. It's just when you say something highly offensive
bad. Have you ever gone to a movie theater and you know the movie is for you and your age group or even like a late teenager? I saw The Hangover once and I saw this mom there with like what had to be like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? What on earth are
you
doing?
Oh, yeah. Kids shouldn't be watching the Mayweather McGregor stuff anyway, but
no,
I just think it's dumb.
It
could be fun, and the first one I actually kind of found fun. It was funny. It was a one-time thing in LA, watching that, great. Mm. And then from then on, it was just, and they were running out of material. These guys aren't stand-up comics.
No, no.
I mean, Mayweather just kept repeating the same line over and over again. It didn't even make sense.
Even their,
McGregor at least is quick-witted.
And that's the only...
I mean, relatively speaking.
I mean, we had a guest on from the UK. He acknowledged there's no... they need McGregor to sell Mayweather on that side of the Atlantic. And they need... They need Mayweather to sell McGregor legitimately for boxing on this side. Can't, there couldn't be a Russian lightweight boxing champion fight McGregor in North America and have people go crazy for it.
No.
Pay the $90. Like, what are your friends, do you hear a lot of this? I'm getting the fight. I'm not. I'll have the fight. Bring $10 bucks.
No.
Where will you be the night of the fight?
My girlfriends have no interest. I haven't even talked to them about it and they haven't brought it up. And this is the thing. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it, but if I am at a bar, then I'll watch. But there's no way I'm paying to see it. For my job, too, I also do need to
So get reimbursed.
See it. Yeah, right. Can you imagine?
The best. Well, yes, I can imagine. Yeah,
I don't
of course
think you could do
it.
I don't think you could do
You'll
that.
Be like, hey, Brady's watching this. If I am in the dark on this podcast, I will not get exposed by not seeing Mayweather McGregor.
What about my Netflix
reimburse
bill?
Me.
Can I get my Netflix
I feel
bill
like that's
reimbursed?
Reason. Given, well, yes.
We're talking about television all the time.
Yes.
Is it relevant? I mean,
when you get the whole 13-season DVD set of Bones, there's a reason you're getting reimbursed for it. That you've plugged it on here. More than enough. I mean, just enough. That's what I meant to say. Not more than enough.
That's okay. We all misspeak.
Just, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what that was. It was the cue card slipped, and I didn't know what I was saying there for a minute.
You have to number your cue cards.
A lot of house cleaning here. I think later in the summer, because this is a really tough week, we thought, what's going on with Toronto FC? We want to get Michael Bradley on the show. I want to get Greg Vanney on the show. They're tied up. They're playing tonight, and Bradley is at this Gold Cup. With Team USA. Canada plays Jamaica in the quarterfinals tomorrow evening. People might have seen the match already. And also the Blue Jays being away. It's a good chance this week for us to get caught up on stuff and
get everything off our chest. I'm surprised we actually didn't get in a fight over the Wimbledon stuff. I didn't even have to use a lot of my notes that I made for why Federer is the greatest of all time. There's so many notes Agassi saying that he's the best, Navratilova. I mean, Sampras didn't.
Yeah, but Agassi doesn't like Sampras because he thinks he's cheap. He did that thing in that doubles tournament that was so, what's the worst thing you can call somebody besides telling somebody they might need to lose weight? You call somebody cheap.
Borg.
He called Pete Sampras cheap. You meant boring, not bored. It's you nailed it earlier. It's tough to get, we're doing this with boxing right now. Floyd Mayweather's a great boxer. There's probably somebody who thinks somebody 25 years ago would have had the power at the same weight class at 160 pounds to beat him up pretty badly. So,
I was still just listing off the people who said Federer's the best.
But I feel like, yeah, you were very, you've been firm but fair with me, I think is the best way to put it. I thought I was expecting a very aggressive.
I was expecting you to be quite aggressive.
Well, he's not some bum or something.
A loser.
But I do remember watching PTI one night and Michael Wilbon in 2012 said he'll never win another slam again.
Oh, I love those people. Those people who've said that because...
That's right.
Yeah. But serves you right.
I do think there was wouldn't you say there was a window in time with Djokovic? I want to come back to that just really quick right now.
Yeah.
There was a window in time, and I'll admit to being a bit of a supporter of Djokovic.
That's okay.
The Unico clothes are no accident, although he doesn't wear them anymore.
No, he's Lacoste now.
You can't find
it. Doesn't really fit him and Lacoste.
No, it doesn't fit. Yeah. I never thought Roddick and Lacoste.
No, Milos and Lacoste made sense.
Like Henri Lecomte when I was growing up fit Lacoste really well. The names are almost the same. But when Djokovic wins his 12th major at the French in 2016. And at that point, Roger's at 17. And at that point, you're going, God, if Roger doesn't win again, there's a game to be had here with Djokovic potentially catching him. But there's been six in a row, and there's going to be seven, potentially with the U.S. Open not being played by him, where he doesn't get it.
And I know,
it's the
it
hardest
is incredible.
thing to consider that he may, I don't think he's done winning them. He's only 30, as is Andy Murray, or about to turn 31. Getting to 19 will be damn well impossible because he hasn't won any of the last six.
Think of Nadal, though. If Nadal had beaten Federer at the Australian Open and then won the French, they would have been one apart.
Yeah.
thinking the conversation we would have had now.
And we just want a couple for Raonic. That's just how it's
one day.
That's how it goes.
One day.
So we'll finish up by doing what up with that. I think we can go right into it, to be perfectly
honest.
Oh
yeah, you have the music
for everybody. Sure, yeah. Turn this place into a disco with the Mayweather McGregor fight about to start. Now you're
now I'm getting angry.
Turn that
again.
Frown upside down. That's what we'll do there.
Actually, I'm still frowning. Here's the first story. You ready for
it? All
right,
I'm ready.
I'm a huge Muppets fan. I've been a Muppets fan since I was a kid. My second favorite movie of all time is A Muppets Christmas Carol. If you haven't seen it, I suggest watching with your family this holiday season.
What year was that out?
I think it was 91.
So have you watched the last two new ones, the one that Tina Fey's
in? I didn't
in?
Watch the Tina Fey
you do
one.
Need,
cause
it's not bad.
Oh, I heard it was bad. The Jason Segel one
bad.
I liked. The
that
I have the
I didn't.
Soundtrack on my
no,
phone.
No, I don't like
you
that don't, one.
You didn't
I
like it?
It's Tina Fey and the guy from Modern Family. What's his name? He plays like a goofy French inspector. Not that that's a stereotype, because that was in the Pink Panther when we were kids. but that was sort of the return for the Muppets. Was that movie, or was that the sequel?
No, Jason Segel was the return of the Muppets.
Okay, so this was the sequel to that, and I really liked it. We went to the theater to watch.
Well, maybe I'll watch that this weekend.
Give it a roll.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
So
okay.
What's gone
so why
on
am
here?
I talking
There's been
about
controversy.
This?
On the job front with the Muppets.
There has. The man who has voiced Kermit the Frog for 27 years has been fired. He's been let go. And he says it's because he felt disrespected. They thought he was being disrespectful and being outspoken on character issues. So he was trying to stay true to Kermit the Frog. I mean, this is what he says.
He didn't like how they were slanting... Like Kermit's story. People usually do this with actors they actually play, not puppets. They're like, you're making me sound too mean. But Kermit was up. The actor
was
of
worried.
Kermit was not up. Was not happy with some of the directions of the
yes,
show.
Yes, he was worried that it wasn't going to stay true to Henson's view of Kermit the Frog, which I respect.
Really?
Now
because there was a new TV show, and I feel like it's not. I feel like City had it on, and I feel like it's not on anymore.
Did it get canceled?
I think that it did. Things get canceled from time to time.
I mean, Kermit's so iconic. You got to stay true to Kermit the Frog.
Was there? And where do things happen with Miss Piggy? Is there still this underlying?
I think they're still separated. Well, that's why I need to watch the Tina Fey movie.
You do for that alone. Yeah,
because they got back together in the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to work on their relationship, or just probably go their separate ways.
I remember there people thinking when, because I would have been like a very young child of Sesame Street originally, and then
amazing.
But the Muppets took time for me to sort of. It just felt like a weird variety show. It was all there were a lot of singing numbers. There weren't like, where's the letter of the day? Where's the number of the day? Where's that computer that rolls around? That typewriter that rolls around on wheels? It was a very new look. And some of the celebrities, you're like, oh my God. Like, that person was popular in like 1958.
I love musicals, though. And so that's why I love the Muppets. I love the singing and dancing. That's why Muppets Christmas Carol is so good. I'm not being sarcastic.
Okay.
It's great music, great storytelling. I have it on DVD if you'd like to borrow it.
I'll trade you the Great Muppet Caper and a second round pick for that particular movie.
Okay.
So everybody worries that certain groups are getting discriminated against in our society, and that's okay. But a new study from Washington notes the difference between getting discriminated by weight and the discrimination of smokers. Mm. And 56% of smokers say they're discriminated against. Just 17 are overweight. Say they are victims of discrimination. It's like when weird stories happen, you're like, there are all these like people that think people who are larger should buy like two seats on an airplane. It's usually only, you know, scenarios like that. But the smoking thing is like, go outside, get out of my sight, stop breathing on me, be 20 feet from the door. So they probably, I'm surprised more smokers don't have that sort of proverbial chip on their shoulder. 56 seems low.
Because I hate being around cigarette smoke. So I guess I discriminate against smokers.
Do you have any people that are very special in your life that smoke and you're like, God, I wish you would... No. Nothing, eh? That's good.
Yes. Do you?
No. My parents quit like almost cold turkey when I was like 12 years old. Like, it just felt like everybody smoked in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah. Well, when I was... My late grandma, she smoked, and I remember when we'd go to visit her, when you're not used to it, too, you just didn't want to be around it.
It was nice.
I hate it when I'm walking and I get... stuck behind someone walking on the sidewalk who's smoking.
You drive in and people throw them out the window still, and you're like, I'm not throwing like a energy bar wrapper at
the
window.
How do you get away with that? That's littering.
Litter is litter, man. They don't vanish into
nothing,
into dust when you throw them out the car door.
Yeah.
Not in the least.
So even people vaping now, though, when I get stuck behind them walking to work, it kind of bothers me. I just have to go to the left, speed walk by them.
13% say every day. This is the persecution complex of smokers. They feel discriminated against every day. Only 1% of self-described overweight people say they're discriminated against daily. So they've got a better attitude than the smokers do. I'm sorry.
Well,
smoking
affects other people. If you're smoking outside of a building and I'm walking out of the building, that affects me.
Here's something I hadn't thought of. They pay higher insurance rates also, so that could be on your mind a lot. Or not getting a job because they reek of smoke. It's like people with neck tattoos. It's like, why can't I be a partner in your law firm? Well, there's the frightening everyone thing happening with you, male or female.
So I should cancel my tattoo appointment?
Cancel the neck. You gotta hide it. You gotta hide it. Be very discriminatory.
Okay.
Discreet about it, not discriminatory. About it. The big difference.
That's too bad. Okay, you had another good story that you saw.
I did.
Julian Edelman?
Oh, yeah. Julian Edelman got a note.
I could tell that was a... I did? Yeah.
Julian Edelman got a note from a teacher. It was like a... I don't know if it was an email or a typed note, but it was an apology.
Asking for money.
You'd think that. Oh. Maybe it'll get to that. Julian Edelman, the wide receiver for the Patriots...
I have it here, if you want to.
Had a former English teacher from the College of San Mateo sent a typed apology because Edelman stated at one point, I'm going to, quote, go to the league... And this is the quote from the teacher. I said something about setting realistic goals, about how few people successfully enter the ranks of the professional athlete, blah, blah, blah. That's what they wrote. Got an English teacher writing blah, blah, blah. Here's the other thing also. The English teacher wrote, I stupidly voiced an uneducated opinion that implied that I had disdain, not disdain. Do you know that D and T are not next to each other on the keyboard?
There's a lot of run-on sentences, too, in this.
This doesn't feel like
note.
An English teacher wrote
this. I don't think
this.
She proofread this.
What if it's a prank and it's not a real English teacher?
That's true.
Or it's not a real football. Well, Edelman's a real football player. So is there ever...
I'm sorry for wedging my foot so firmly in my mouth that day.
This has obviously been haunting that teacher.
Yeah.
For year
or
upon
she has
year
her
upon
student.
Year.
Yeah. Well, and she called him Jules, so...
Did you ever have a teacher, Carolyn, that just absolutely, or a professor that you felt really undervalued who you were, doubted you the whole way, gave you C's instead of, you know, your A minuses or whatever you averaged? And
I'm going to sound like a teacher's pet, but I seriously had very good teachers. Nobody. They were all right. I mean, I was not great at math, and my teacher would help me. And even writing, I had to get a lot better.
A coach, even?
My coaches were always right. My basketball coach in high school, I remember, there was one time when I was obviously not paying attention in a timeout. I don't know what I was doing. And then I went out and I was point guard, and that's great that you didn't listen to the play call. And I just totally screwed it up, and she started yelling at me and saying, what are you doing? You're not...
Oh, there you go.
And yeah. She was right.
That's right.
So I don't blame her. I was the one not paying attention.
It was like LeVar Ball yelling at his son in that video.
Not
with the
quite.
Sandals.
Okay, he does not play defense, though. Oh. Don't get me started again on that family.
So there's
obsession. But did you have?
Yes, I bear grudges.
Oh,
like,
here we go.
My grade three teacher.
Really?
My grade three teacher. I think I did something that I absolutely shouldn't have done in class, or I was passing notes or something. And she had referred to me as maybe going to prison someday.
In
third
goodness.
Grade. And I still have nightmares that I've committed some kind of crime. And I blame Miss Liddell for that.
Oh,
I really do. I should be writing the notes to her.
Yeah, hate mail.
And going, you see, I'm really mediocre at my job, and you said I wouldn't be.
There was one teacher who I only had for a couple classes, because then I think the teacher switched classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked to borrow her stapler to hand in an assignment because I guess my stapler didn't work. And she said, no, you go walk across. She literally had me go walk across the entire school and said, you go and use that stapler in that other room and think of what you've done. I'm like, what have I done?
For people...
I just need a stapler.
We want...
But she was very nice as well. Maybe I misremember.
You don't have a... I know. People listening want a Carolyn Cameron grudge. Like, people who've had horrific experiences with educators
but
are
I
going,
actually,
you didn't have it that hard.
I'm
but if
still
you're a good
touch,
student, you're a good student.
I'm still in touch with teachers, too, from elementary school and high school. I had good teachers, and I was a good student.
I felt like everybody I had in university was great. Like, I could endorse, I'm like Greg Brady here for University of Western Ontario. It's not even called that anymore. Greg Brady for Western University. I thought everybody was great. I really did. I thought everybody was fantastic. High school was a mixed bag where you didn't want Mr. Dempsey or Miss Adams or whatever.
Our school had really good teachers.
My God.
I was lucky. Sorry. Not today.
Well, do you think boys have it harder? I keep hearing that in elementary.
We don't
focus and pay attention.
Well,
a run on sentences is what it
is. Well, I used to talk a lot to my friends in class. That's what I would get in trouble with. I never even had detention in grade 12. High school. I was probably goody two shoes. I still don't like getting in trouble, though.
We need an autobiography, honestly.
I don't think it would be that interesting.
Stories. Thanks to Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady for being with us today.
Yes.
Glad the rest of you could be here.
We're really good students, too.
We still ate up over 40 minutes. So
yeah, that's surprising.
Our teachers may have not realized we could talk as long as we could now talk.
Okay, one quick story.
Yeah.
But it's nothing against teacher. One of my teachers, she really liked me and my friend, and she told my parents in a student-teacher interview that it was fine, or student-teacher meeting, whatever this.
Yeah.
Parent-teacher. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Parent-teacher. That I was allowed to speak to my friend, Sally, in class as long as I didn't talk to other people. So we could talk when she was talking.
That's very pettish.
I also kicked an Aussie football at my gym teacher's head. And I was so apologetic, but I didn't get in trouble. The girl who was supposed to catch the ball got in trouble.
I was upset in fourth grade after a broom ball loss, and I took off my boot, threw it like McEnroe throws a racket into the cloakroom, and I hit my friend Sarah McMillan right in the nose, and her nose was bleeding like the bride in Meet the Parents.
Oh, yeah.
And the teacher walked in at that exact moment and figured out what had happened, and you can't believe the trouble I was in. Like, it didn't break her nose, but I think she needed some kind of a cosmetic reset.
Right. She's never been the same.
You
should write her a note as well.
She had a lot. I mean, everybody.
Breathing problems.
Yeah, and just freckles and all of our mild acne. It was the beginning of the end for Sarah McMillan.
I felt
terrible about that, but I eluded suspension somehow.
Yeah. I once sent a guy to the doctor in grade 7 for throwing a dodgeball where the sun don't.
Well, on purpose?
No. And he got out. It's his fault. He didn't catch the ball.
Again, the longer we go, if we keep this rolling, you're going to find people are finding you did maybe have surreptitious problems with people. There's no accident when you throw it in that region there. We'll come back next week. We'll have guests. We'll have more chats. We'll know more about Rogers Cup. You're going to be away that week. We'll have to figure out.
Next week.
I know, but the Montreal week.
Weeks, so. And I won't be able to phone in that week either.
No, well, we didn't phone in this one either. I don't care what anyone says. Please do rate us on iTunes. Hope you enjoyed our Wimbledon chat, our McGregor-Mayweather chat. Don't invite Carolyn over for the fight.
Unless you have smart food or Cheetos.
Jared, smart food or avocado toast will come.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll see everyone next week. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Point Taken with Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady on sportsnet.ca/590.